Many people believe they need to become better people before they can get close to Jesus. However, the truth is, if you draw closer to Jesus, he'll make you a better person. The Lord doesn't want to put you into a mold and make you look like a Christian. The Lord wants to change you from the inside out to turn you into a Christian. This process is called transformation. Now look at what Romans 12:2 says. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Lord's perfect will is that you become more like Jesus, and that in life situations, you would do what Jesus would do. Jesus empowered us through the Holy Spirit to do the following. We see what it is in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. Jesus said to us, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Let me take a moment here just to remind everyone that all of my videos and podcast audios, as well as the notes for all of these messages, are available free for download at PastorVic.com. Again, PastorVic.com. Let me pick up now. Now, there was a pastor in the early 1980s who was a musician turned Christian leader, and he had a deep hunger for experiencing God's power. After becoming a Christian, he started attending church regularly. But after weeks of services, he asked a question that would shape his ministry. When do we get to do this stuff? He had read in the Bible about Jesus healing the sick, casting out demons, and performing miracles. But in church, all he saw was singing and sermons and people shaking hands. He was looking for that same supernatural power that Jesus and his disciples had. And that question, when does this stuff happen, led him on a journey to discover the real living power of the Holy Spirit, a power that's available to all believers today. This journey begins with salvation. It's followed by water baptism and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at the beginning of this Christian journey, salvation. It's the starting point of our relationship with Jesus. It begins when we acknowledge that we were wrong and that God was right. It's not just about following rules, but about knowing and trusting Jesus personally. Just imagine, you're lost in a huge forest with no way out. You try to find your own path, but every direction leads to more confusion and danger. Then someone appears with a map and a flashlight, offering to guide you out. That person is Jesus. Accepting salvation is like deciding to trust the guide instead of wandering aimlessly in life. It's realizing that you need help and choosing to follow the one who knows the way. Now, what does the Bible say? Well, in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized.'" Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Hear that? The gift of the Holy Spirit. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off." We are the afar off. "As many as the Lord our God will call." Salvation is available to everyone who turns to Jesus. It's an invitation to a new life, filled with the presence and the power of God. In my own personal testimony, you know, how I came to know the Savior, it began when I was trying to understand God instead of trusting him. I was trained in the sciences, and I became a high school chemistry and biology teacher. And science, as you know, has to do with being able to see, to taste, to hear, to smell, and touch the physical world. Here's the truth. You cannot effectively understand the spiritual realm using scientific methods. However, this is exactly how I approach God, and it didn't work. I was leaning on my own understanding instead of admitting I was wrong and that I needed Jesus in my life. See, that's what repentance is. I had what some refer to as an aha moment, just a realization or a eureka. I got it. Jesus is who God says he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 also was very influential in my life. And what it says to the prophet Isaiah, God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now my conclusion was, how can the created fully understand the creator? You see, all we can do is trust and obey the Lord. The second step in this journey, of course, is baptism in water, which is it's a public declaration of faith. Water baptism is an outward sign of something that's taken place on the inside. It represents dying from our old way of life and rising into a new way of life with Jesus. Jesus does not rehabilitate, he recreates. You see, rehabilitation is about building a new structure on the old foundation. Recreation is about building a new structure and a new foundation. Scriptures tell us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all, and I want to emphasize the word all things have become new. That was 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things have become new. You can research the Greek, you can research the Hebrew, and the word all simply means all. Imagine a dirty, stained shirt that's been worn for weeks without washing. No matter how much perfume or deodorant you use, the smell remains. But once the shirt is washed, it becomes fresh and clean. Water baptism is like that. It doesn't save you, but it's a sign that your old life has been washed away and you are now living a new life in Christ. Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul wrote, beginning in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in the newness of life." Not long after receiving Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I was told that I needed to be water baptized. Now, my natural self rebelled against the idea of baptism. It didn't make any sense to me. See, here again, I slipped into leaning on my own understanding instead of trusting the Lord and his instructions from the Bible. I thought to myself, baptism was just a ritual. There was no benefit to being baptized. And frankly, in part, I was embarrassed to be baptized. I didn't want to be seen going down into the water by my friends and family. But after a season of time, I did decide to get baptized. And when it happened, it turned out to be a glorious experience. I remember going down into the water, and after being fully submerged, there was a part of me that did not want to come to the surface. Something spiritual happened in the waters of baptism. Something spiritual connected to my obedience. Baptism is a powerful step of obedience. It's a way of telling the world, I belong to Jesus. The third step in our process, if you will, or our journey, is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's so that we would have power for the Christian life. Now, water baptism is important, but Jesus also discussed another kind of baptism, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Imagine trying to ride a bicycle up a steep hill. You pedal and pedal with all of your might, but the climb is exhausting and slow. And then someone comes along and gives you an electric bike. Now, with the push of a button, you have extra power that helps you move forward easily. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is like that. It gives you supernatural strength and boldness and guidance to live the Christian life effectively. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, the word says, "And being assembled together with them, he," meaning Jesus, "commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John," meaning John the Baptist, "truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Before Jesus left the earth, he told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. You see, he didn't want them to try to live the Christian life in their own strength. Instead, he promised them supernatural power, a spiritual helper in the form of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, each one of us needs the help of the Holy Spirit to live the new life that God has given us. Then in Acts chapter 1 again, verse 8, Jesus says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see, that power, or I should say the power of the Holy Spirit, wasn't just for the early church. It's for all believers today. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness, it gives us wisdom, and the ability to experience God's presence in our daily lives. All you have to do is believe what Jesus promised and step out by faith. Then you will see the Lord working through you to perform the miracles only the Lord can do. The Holy Spirit needs a vessel to work through. Say yes to him. Even after I was baptized, I didn't believe God did miracles for today. You see, I wasn't taught that in the church that I was going in. I wasn't taught that healing was for today. And I hadn't seen a miracle until my father-in-law came to live with us. My father-in-law had suffered a stroke and was partially paralyzed on his right side. He walked with a cane and he couldn't use his right arm. As a matter of fact, it just hung there. But my father-in-law had heard about a healing service and told me that he was going with a group of friends. And I remember thinking to myself that he was just simply wasting his time. That evening, my father-in-law came into our home, walking without his cane, and he excitedly asked me for a pen. And I gave him a pen. He leaned over on the table with the pen and signed his name for the first time since his stroke. He was healed. He could walk and use his right side again. Hallelujah. He received a miraculous healing. And I received the truth, which I hold to this day. God is still in the healing business. Since then, I have seen God work miracles after miracles after miracles in the lives of countless people. Jesus is the healer, and he can heal you or work through you to bring healings to others. All of this through the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, beginning at chapter 14, verse 12. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do." Why? Because I go to my Father. You see, when he went to his Father, he ascended into heaven, but then the Holy Spirit descended down into the life of the believer. Remember that pastor I mentioned in the beginning? When's this stuff going to happen? Eventually realized that the stuff he was looking for was real. And when he and his church started praying for people, they saw miracles happen. The sick were healed, people were set free, lives were changed. The same Holy Spirit that worked through Jesus and the early disciples is still at work today. All we have to do is to seek God, surrender to his will, and step out in faith. How can you receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Ask God for the power. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Just ask. The second thing that you can do is spend time with God. Whether you're spending time in His presence, worshiping, or in prayer, reading the Bible, all of these things help us grow in our relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. And third, probably the most important part, is sometimes we don't experience God's power because we're afraid to take risk. But when we pray for others, share our faith, and obey God, we will see Him move in amazing ways. We have to be doers of the word. So the conclusion is, are you ready to experience this stuff? You see, Christianity isn't just about knowing the right things. It's about knowing the right person, Jesus, in a personal way. Salvation is just the beginning. When we choose to follow Jesus, we need to be baptized. We need to seek the Holy Spirit. And He will open the doors to an amazing life filled with God's power. The question I asked in the beginning is still relevant today. When do we get to do this stuff? The answer is right now. If you're ready to experience more of God, don't wait. Pray, seek Him, step out in faith. He's ready to work in and through you. And so I want to encourage you, I hope this is an encouraging word to you, to step out in faith, to not become what some would call a closet Christian, a Christian hidden in a closet that no one can see. But it's important for us to be praying for people, for laying hands on people, and expecting God to deliver. God keeps His promises. He is faithful, the word says, even when we're unfaithful. But He is faithful. And so right now, I just pray an anointing upon every listener, every person who's watching or reading, Lord, that You would just touch them with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that they would know that Your Spirit is for today, and Your Spirit is so that we can be a witness for You, so people can see Jesus in us and through us. God bless you. I hope this message, again, just blesses you and encourages you, and look forward to seeing you the very next time. All right? Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.